Our sermon text this morning is Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. It's printed in your bulletin in the English Standard Version. Of course, you feel free to open your Bibles or your electronic devices and look there as well. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. A song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray as we consider God's word together. Father, we're thankful for this simple psalm sung by pilgrims. We pray that we would see ourselves in their shoes this morning on a journey that you've called us on. And we're thankful, Lord, that our help comes from you. We pray that that help would be evident in the understanding of your word this morning, that what is heard from this pulpit, Lord, we pray is from you. Lord, have your way among us this morning through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Having just come back from a road trip, I am reminded, especially when I was a little boy, of how much I loved road trips. I loved car trips. It was the best because I got to spend time with my mom and dad, and I got the whole back seat to myself. I remember particularly this old Chevy Cavalier that wound up being my car in high school, but when I was a kid, it was a car we took on car trips. I got to spread out. Back then, of course, I didn't actually wear a seatbelt. You know, that was considered a little strange, probably. I got a chance to spread out. I could sleep. I could read. I could talk. I was the prototypical kid, too, though, who often would say, half an hour into the trip, are we there yet? Or when are we going to get there? Or when are we going to stop for lunch? When are we going to stop for breakfast? I need to go to the bathroom. As much as I like being in the car trips, I like to stop. I like to somehow chop up the trip into pieces. Somehow it seemed like it went faster that way. For example, I don't know if you know this, but when John and Susan Pickett, our friends here, when they drive north from Las Cruces on I-25 and they go to Colorado, for example, they start at exit 1. And they don't go out of New Mexico until exit 460, which is Raton. Now, when I was a kid, that would kill me. I wanted 100 miles in this state and 50 miles in that state, 75 miles in this state, 150 miles. So chopping it up seemed like it made it go faster. That's why when I've driven across Texas, that is just unbearable. It's such a long, big state. I've done that in Florida as well, which if you drive particularly along the Panhandle then down to Miami, it's really long. Never done that in California, but I imagine it's similar. A place like Alaska, I can't even imagine. There are these old, AAA used to have these old things called triptychs. Anyone familiar with the old triptych map? That was made for a kid like me because it chopped up your trip into pages. And they had this highlighter, so they showed you where you were going to be on the road, and I could follow it very carefully. That way, my parents always gave me the triptych. They knew where they were going. That way, that would stop the questions of, are we there yet? Where are we going? Where am I going to stop for lunch? Those kinds of things. Psalm 121 is a psalm for travelers. It is a song for pilgrims. It is a song sung by those who are going to Jerusalem, to Zion. They're ascending. That's the song of ascent. They literally are ascending to the place of worship, perhaps for a festival or a feast. And so this morning I want you to consider where you are on your journey. We are all on a journey. We are all on a road trip of some kind. Consider where you are and where you are in your relationship to your God as we look at this psalm together this morning. This psalm is actually pretty simple. It's 8 verses split up into 4 couplets. There's a nice word to say pairs of verses. And each couplet kind of expands beyond the previous one, talking about the promises that God makes and identifying who he is and who we are. So let's look at the first couplet, verses 1 and 2. We'll include the superscript there, a song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The writer lifts up his eyes to the hills. He's tired, maybe. He's He's looking forward on a journey. He's looked at the triptych. He knows the next place to go on the map is Jerusalem, is Zion, the place of worship, the place of blessing, the place where God meets his people. But it's a hard journey. He lifts up his eyes to the hills. You know, it's funny, we did a lot of hiking on this last trip. We went to two national parks on this recent vacation. I've found myself that I have to, especially with my lack of balance these days, I have to find myself looking down a lot when I'm walking because of the uneven terrain. Sometimes I would miss what's going on around me. I imagine that this man or this people singing this song together are often just struggling to walk, to get on the journey. And he lifts up his eyes to the hills, and perhaps the hills are really far away, perhaps they're close, but you get a sense that he needs help. That's why he says, "Where does my help come from?" My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And it's so easy to look over that sentence without realizing what he's saying. He says, my help comes from the Lord. L-O-R-D in small caps. That was the name, the divine name of Israel's God, Yahweh. It was when they used this name, that was their relational name for God, the covenant name for God. The way God revealed himself to them at the time of the Exodus and so many other ways. But it's not just their God. It's not just their private God, their little God they put in a bag, they rubbed his belly perhaps when they needed good luck. This was a God, it says, who made heaven and earth. The covenant God of Israel was the God who made the hills. He was the God who made the rocks. He was the God who made them. He is the most powerful force in the universe. He is more powerful than anything imaginable. What an amazing thing to think about, that this God, this powerful God, is their help. Derek Kidner puts it this way. Here, God is described as living help, primary, personal, wise, immeasurable. Way better than a triptych. Even better, way better, than a smartphone. He's not just a map. He created the map. He's not just the one who guides you through the national park, he created the national park. What a God we serve. He is our help. This also says who I am. And again, we talked about this in the introduction. These verses describe this man as a pilgrim. The psalmist is a pilgrim. He doesn't belong in the place where he is. He belongs to where he's going. He's on a journey. He's not satisfied with where he is. He is going somewhere. Again, life is a journey. It's really from birth to death, but also for those of us who know the Lord, those of us who call ourselves Christians, it's not just from birth to death, but birth to eternal life, to meeting God face to face one day. We don't go to a physical place called Jerusalem, but we do go to a spiritual place called Zion, and we taste pieces of and parts of that now. But there are also many journeys along the way, right? Remember, I talked about the triptych. The triptych could be 7 pages long, but some of those pages seem like they're longer than others. Some of you are going through journeys, parts of your journey that are very difficult. You're having difficulties with your family, with your children, with your parents. You're going through health issues, financial issues, relational issues. You're lonely. You're afraid. Work isn't leading you anywhere. All kinds of things could be going on in your life that make this part of the journey very difficult. If that's you this morning, recognize that you have help. And not just in a smartphone map or a triptych, but you have the God of the universe on your side. And really, the rest of this psalm is about how God serves us in that way. How is he our help? How is he our keeper? You'll notice so many times he's described as a keeper, a keeping God, in these next few verses. Let's, in fact, look at verses 3 and 4. Or this theme continues. The psalmist writes, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." I had an interesting moment where the four roses were hiking in the Arches National Park, and there was a place where the boys and Carrie got ahead of me, and I just couldn't do it. I could not physically put my foot on this big rock without feeling like I was going to fall down. It's kind of a tough moment in some ways for me, but I also got a chance to watch them enjoy things on the floor. And I thought about this verse, "He will not let your foot be moved." God is our sense of stability. He's our sense of balance. He is our sense of unfailing watchfulness. He's the one who always spots you. If I could use a weightlifting term. He's the one who's always caring for us and watching over us. In fact, what I love is he says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. When I was younger, when Carrie and I were returning from working at a church in Washington State, the Tri-Cities area, in 1994, at 8 o'clock at night, we were waiting. We were about to say goodnight. We were each going to go to our own separate houses where we were staying with host families. The next morning, we were going to leave for Albuquerque. I said, Carrie, we're young. We're strong. Let's just leave right now. Let's just leave at 8 o'clock at night with no sleep. Let's just go. Let's see if we can drive all the way straight through to Albuquerque, which is like a 23-hour trip, something like that. And, of course, she was as foolish as I was, maybe more foolish because she had to follow me. She said, okay. And so we left, and I think we wound up sleeping in the car in a parking lot at Walmart, which I hate Walmart, so it's kind of doubly terrible for me, like near Boise somewhere for an hour. What I remember most about that was when we got close to Albuquerque, I think it was Bernalillo. We literally get off the highway at Bernalillo, which at the time wasn't the nice highway you have now, 550. It was called 666. It was called that for a reason. It was a terrible road. Got on I-25, and literally, I'm trying, my eyes are just open, you know, and I'm just focusing on staying awake. I was telling Carrie, why are the stripes on the road flying off the road? As I was driving, and I was trying to keep my eyes awake, my mind was hallucinating. The stripes on the road were literally coming off the road. So, Dan, pull over. I'll take it from here. And she drove the last 30 minutes to help me out a little bit. I also remember another time when I was working at a local radio station as a volunteer DJ at a Christian station. They break you in by having you do the noon to six shift. Midnight to six shift. This is the old K-Lite 88.3 FM. I think it's called M88.3 now. It's too cool for me. But I remember at 6 o'clock in the morning, my friends calling me saying, we're all going to go skiing at Sandia Peak. Why don't you come? And I stupidly said, sure. And as long as I was skiing or on the lift outside, I was fine. But we went in to have lunch. I was sleeping between bites of a hamburger, literally just falling asleep. And you've probably seen, or maybe you experienced this, some of you who are have a little more gray or white hair than others. You just kind of naturally start to fall asleep at times. God never falls asleep. Our God never grows weary or tired. It says, the Bible tells us in 6 days he created all things, on the seventh day he rested. Folks, that doesn't mean he fell asleep. It doesn't mean he took a nap. He rested from his creation, but he sustained the world and has been forever and ever, as long as it's been around. And he will forever. And that same kind of willpower and strength and stamina and lack of slumber is directed at you. There's never a time in your life when God doesn't have his eye on you. There's never a time, even in the bad times, God didn't look away one day or just forget to check off something on your list. He is sovereign over all things. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. One other thing I'd like to say about this passage, these verses 3 and 4, the preserver of persons is also the preserver of God's people. You notice it says, he will not let your foot be moved. And then in the next verse, it says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He keeps individuals, but he also keeps God's people together as well. As we talked about in our prayer request time, God has an individual relationship with us, but he also calls us to a relationship with each other. The God who is your keeper keeps the church of Jesus Christ as well. So our church is on a journey. This small individual church, High Desert, is on a journey. Our denomination is on a journey. The church of Jesus Christ around the world is on a journey somewhere. God has us together for a reason at this time. What will he do? Well, he will keep us and preserve us no matter what. That theme continues in verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And there's a couple of Hebrew idioms that kind of maybe shroud the meanings of these words a little bit. First of all, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. That doesn't mean that your right hand literally has a little piece of shade on it. That wouldn't be much shade. I have a big hand, but it's not that big. Literally, that word shade would be shadow. But God is your shadow. The Lord is your shade, your shadow on your right hand. That is, he is at your side. The Lord protects me, this couplet says, because he is ever present. Again, similar to verses 3 and 4, he never slumbers nor sleeps. He also doesn't go away from you. God doesn't need to take a break. Those of you who are in relationships, in marriage, or you've been in romantic relationships before, sometimes you know you just need a break from somebody. You love them, but you just need an hour. I just need a break. Or you need a break from your kids. Your kids need a break from you. Or your grandchildren or grandparents, so on and so forth. God doesn't require a break from us. He is ever present. He is like your shadow. And this idea where he says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night, you might be thinking, what does that have to do with anything? Why would, is this about sunburn and sunblock and those kinds of things? And what is the moon? That was really a way of saying, from the sun time, when the sun is up to the moon is up, all times of the day, God would protect you. He is your shadow. You can't rid yourself of him who lives among you. Of course, we know that even more on this side of the cross because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We not only have something that's a shadow, we have something that lives inside of us, even better than a shadow. We have God's indwelling presence among us. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. God protects us because he is ever present with us. And then finally, verses 7 and 8, I call this section that God is the preserver of the big picture. Okay? As I said, each couplet kind of expands wider and wider away from just this journey of ascent to Jerusalem. This is a big picture moment, verse 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, this is a pretty big promise the psalmist makes here. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. This is what I think he means by that. Even as we experience evil, we will not experience its full force. That God, even in the midst of evil, God protects us. He will keep your life. Your life is hidden with God. I think it's similar to what Jesus says in Luke 21. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 21, verses 16 through 18. It's interesting that Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's kind of telling them what's to come up, kind of giving them some tough news. He tells them in verse 16, you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. Obviously giving the bad news first. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair from your head will perish. But not a hair of your head will perish. I think that's what God is saying in Psalm 121. He's saying the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The parallelism in the Psalms really means that 7 and 8 kind of work together. They define each other. So if 7 sounds like a big promise, it's hard to imagine, especially with all the, experiencing some of the horrors we've experienced in Dallas or other places this week. The fact the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. My mother-in-law has a habit. Well, and now that she lives in the same town as me, it's not quite as much. In fact, I drove her home last night from the Santa Fe Opera at 12:45 in the morning. She didn't say this. She used to have this habit. When we would visit them, when we would leave, she'd say, well, Dan, drive safely. Now, does that mean she didn't think I was a good driver? Well, she might not think I was a good driver. That actually could be true. And she might have evidence to that. But usually when someone says that to you, it's not because they're criticizing your driving. It's their way of saying, we love you. We want you to come back. We want you to be safe. When I read verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore, I hear my mother-in-law's voice saying, you drive safe. Go with God. Vaya con Dios. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He preserves us in the big picture. Even when we experience evil, we don't experience the full force of evil. Because even if we were to perish, God keeps our life. For those of us who are in Christ, so we cannot lose. You know what the really neat thing about this psalm is? It points us to Jesus. I see Jesus in this psalm. Because you know, Jesus, like us, was a pilgrim. He too was on a journey. But his journey wasn't quite the same journey that we're on. He too wound up traveling to Jerusalem. And on the hills of Jerusalem, he was first applauded on Palm Sunday, but then later on executed on Good Friday. He experienced the full force of evil, so you and I would be protected from it. He experienced death. He experienced Satan's torture. He experienced the full wrath of his Father. He experienced those things so you and I, when we put our faith in Christ, are not exposed to those things in the same way. He saves us from those things. He bought eternal life for those of us who put our faith and trust in him. So as you go about in your journey, recognize that you are going to Zion. You are going to a spiritual Jerusalem. But you go in the footsteps of the one who's carrying you, in a sense. You go in the footsteps of the one who's already gone on the journey. And sometimes he walks beside you and sometimes he carries you. He is your God and Savior. He is Jesus. Cling to him in faith. During the small journeys of life that are difficult, the great journeys of life that are easy, and everything in between. Cling to Jesus. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray.